Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. Trespasses, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth, as it is in heaven. Lead us into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Deliver us from all evil, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Deliver us from all evil. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Good morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, listeners, for listening today. Good morning. This is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air, and I'm just so happy that we have a whole team today, and it's going to be so awesome.
We got a great show.
Yes, yes.
We got a great show to really kind of like listen carefully, because we've got some stuff that we normally don't talk about here, right?
That's right.
Kind of exciting.
We have an illustrator here today,
yeah,
too, that we're going to be asking questions, and his children. And we have Barbara Campbell. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'm co-hosting with Katarina today.
Yes.
Very happy to be here.
Yes. Hosting, I would say. You're such a great help. So.
Thank you.
We have Ella.
Hi.
Danny.
Hi.
And they're actually characters in the book that we're going to be talking about today. So that's so cool that we have live characters from It's Coming to Life.
Yeah, that's right.
The book. We also have David.
Hey guys, how are you? Thanks for having us here.
Who's Barbara's son, of course. We have Father Peter. Welcome. Hello. Thank you.
Nice to be here again.
And Giovanna.
Hi. Thank you.
Get close to that.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
All right, so today our call-in number is 631-888-8811. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in, or if you want to send a quick text, it's 516-784-6081. That's the text-in number. And please also download our free TuneIn Radio app that's available in the Google, the App Store. And if this show touches you in any way, please feel free to pray for us and to donate. Every little bit helps, and it's greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. For more info about that, you could contact me or Barbara, 516-784-6081.
And can I just say something about that?
Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of great radio shows on, but I think the uniqueness about this one is that it's about you guys, Long Island, you know? Like, this is your show. this is what, you know, we want you to come in and we want you to talk about stuff that's important to you. We want to hear from you. We want you to be excited about the kinds of things that are uniquely yours, that uniquely happen here on Long Island. So, you know, even though we're small, we cannot despise small beginnings. Scripture tells us, the Word of God says, never despise small beginnings. And I think that the fact that God is helping this thing just keep rolling along, something that, you know, Dr. Shufo and Dr. Palmieri started, I just know that God's hand is on it. So try to think of it as your little unique Long Island station and be part of it. You know, if you have a great story to share, you have a witness, whatever, please talk to us about it. We'd love to get you on here. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Katarina for a second and see what she's got to say about this whole thing.
Amen. No, I agree. I think that God is just really providing the guest speakers every show, and the topics are different and exciting, and I just feel very happy coming on the show and sharing with everybody. And I've gotten some great feedback that the show is great, very inspirational, and just wonderful blessings that are coming forth. So,
and we both agree, by the way, it's a funny thing. We both agree that it's our happiest moment during the week when we're here in front of the mic. I don't know, that must be a Holy Spirit download, huh?
Really, I really think so, because afterwards, after the show, I'm so excited. I'm like, yes, you know, I have energy, I'm just ready for the week,
right. And
I just can't explain
and,
it.
And, you know, God qualifies the called. We weren't qualified, really, technically, but he calls you and then he qualifies you. It just works like that, and that's why we're here. See, all you have to do, really, when God asks you to do something, which he always did, and it's usually something, it could be something crazy, right, Father Peter?
That's right, absolutely. You never know.
Mike?
You never really do know, so stay alert. And this is going to be a nice show. You're going to hear a few different and interesting things today.
Mm-hmm.
So listen up, everybody. Jesus is on the air.
Jesus is on the air.
He really is. Okay.
So we're going to talk about a book that we co-authored. I wrote with my son, illustrated, which is quite a nice thing. Anthony Chufo always was excited about that fact because he was such a family person. And he always said, I love the fact that you guys collaborated on something, mother and son. He just loved it because his family is, you know, always the center of his life and his wife's life. And everybody, you know, in this society really has to struggle to keep family together. That's why our first book that we wrote is Sunday Dinner. And our second one is The Birthday Ballet. And we've got a whole series coming out. So we're very excited about that, and I asked Katarina to kind of take it from there, since
sure,
I can't interview
sure.
myself.
Yes. I to start, my first question for you, Barbara, for Dave, what inspired you to start writing this children's book series? As you mentioned, it's called Ella Francinella is the series name.
Ella,
right?
Ella Francinella.
Ella, okay. And you're the star, Ella. And I guess any thoughts you have about that?
Yeah, I didn't, it's really interesting. I never thought of myself as a children's book writer.
Mm-hmm.
I had written some other things, and it was just a complete Holy Spirit thing. We always have Sunday dinner, and as crazy as it might be, we have it. And if you show up, that's great, and if you don't show up, that's okay too. But I was clearing the table, and I was listening to my grandchildren talk, and I thought, oh my God, that's got to be written down. And I had a paper plate, literally a paper plate, and I just jotted some, because I was cleaning off paper plates, and I just kind of jotted some notes down
mm-hmm.
on the plate, and I thought, wow, this could be a real book. And, you know, just for fun, I kind of did it. And, it took off. It was amazing. It was just so exciting. It became a book.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and then we never planned it. And then the Lord started downloading other books, and then we started realizing they're really like little parables. And, like, there's different icons in the books that really represent God and the different dimensions of God, and there's stories that really are about themes in the Gospels, but under the wire, no, mm-hmm. totally under the wire. Like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't know it unless you really got to read commentaries about it and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter. That's how it happened.
That's I love that because it's just such a natural thing. I could just imagine you guys having pizza or something and then just the conversation and you jotting notes down. That's really wonderful. And I just wanted to share a little personal story, if you don't mind. So I remember when the book first came out, the first book, Sunday Dinner, Barbara gave my little sister Amanda a signed copy of it for free. And I was interested, and I took a look at the book, and at first I thought to myself, this is really silly, I thought to myself, this book is kind of weird. I picked it up, and I started reading it. I was halfway through it. This was about, like, a year ago, and I was halfway through the book when I put it down, and I had decided that it made no sense, and I I kind of gave up on reading it. I'm kind of embarrassed, but so I was frustrated because I just thought that I didn't understand the sentences, Ella's sentences, and but a year later I picked up the book again, but this time I was intrigued by it and delighted. I saw it in a different perspective. I found myself chuckling at Ella's sentences and subconsciously noticing the mouse and little details that I had missed before. And I thought to myself, why is there this mouse in every page? But it's exciting because you have to find him. It's like the I Spy books, and I grew up with those. So after reading Sunday Dinner a second time, I felt refreshed and uplifted. I felt healed, and I thought less of my problems and more like a child after reading the book. And I just want to really say thank you for creating this book and this series that I know is going to be great, and which at first I didn't appreciate, but now I do, and I'm just very excited to see what's in store. It's all new.
Yeah, well, that's the best part of this, that really the Lord invites us to come as little children to him. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't say to be childish ever, but mm-hmm. he says, come as little children, you know, mm-hmm. the simplicity of little children. And that's kind of what the books are about, to get inside that kid, you know, in psychology, in counseling. We always talk about the kid inside of us is still alive. Mm-hmm. You know, that kid is still working its stuff out, you mm-hmm. know. And in fact, they say if you get upset more than 15 seconds about something, that's your kid. That's something from the past, you know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a little rule we have in the psych world. But, yeah, so it gets in touch with the kid inside of us, and it kind of heals. And I loved the word you used. As an author, mm-hmm. I couldn't ever want a better word to hear from someone who read the book than healing. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you said it was healing, you know. It's healing that child. It's bringing us back to that lightheartedness that can embrace God's joy. Mm-hmm. You know, that space where we can all just really not have to work at joy, but just receive and embrace it.
Right. Yeah, that's so true, that it just kind of happened and just kind of felt like a cleansing. And
I think, can I just add?
Yeah.
I think it, you know, you said embarrassed, but I think the beautiful thing about this book is it has so many layers to it, and everybody's kind of taking, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, that's a little better.
Yeah, I think the book has a lot of layers to it, and, you know, I think everybody takes a little something from it differently. I think that's the unique thing about about Barbara's writing, my mother's writing, and I think that's the beauty of it. It is anointed. There is an underlayer, if you will, you know, a message that you can find, and there's also not for lack of a better word, a surface message that, you know, the average person would see. But I think I just wanted to add that I think it's a really unique book in that way, that it's mm-hmm. so dimensional, you know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, and since we're doing mutual admiration here, I just wanted to mention something about the drawings that I never appreciated. You're saying you didn't appreciate some of the words at first. Well, I didn't appreciate what my son was doing with the drawings, because I just figured, well, he's drawing, you know. I would watch him for hours draw and redraw, and you know, he'd have the colored pencils, and he'd have his particular medium there, mm-hmm. and he would just keep you know, changing and putting up to the light and looking through it. And I, for the first year or two, I just thought that was how people drew. And then all of a sudden I realized that this is very unique in this day and age. And usually they do what's called computer graphic interface, which is using the computer graphics, you know, to do all this stuff. But to have an artist actually sit and hand draw and correct and edit, and this time around when we were doing our second book, I was just so impressed with that. It was like, oh my God, he's drawing, this is like crazy. You know, he's drawing everything out, and I think it's a medium that really appeals to children because it has kind of a gentle portrayal. You know, it makes connections. The hand-drawn art makes connections with that place in us, again, that kid place in us. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, DP, you used colored pencils. What was that? What made you choose that medium particularly?
Yeah, I mean, there was, I guess, in the early days of drawing, we were looking at different types of medium. You know, this was my first time. I hadn't had, you know, much experience in coloring an illustrated book. But, you know, basically, I guess the short answer is the colored pencils have a softness about them and a lightness, you know, and I thought it was appropriate for the context that you were putting out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just read something about a famous Japanese artist who worked for Disney. He was the last of the hand-drawn animators.
Oh.
And he actually did Bambi. And now Bambi's cells, that's short for celluloid, one of his frames are selling for thousands of dollars because this is such a lost art.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, the art of drawing.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating. So I'm learning as I go, too. And I'm learning to appreciate, you know, what's going on in front of me, which I totally missed the first time around.
Thank you. No, I was totally learning, too, something new that I didn't think that what the difference would be between, let's say, watercolor paint versus crayon versus color pencil. So that's really,
different feel to each of them, sure.
Yeah, and it shows that you put time and effort into it, and it definitely shows,
you know.
And I guess another quick question I had for Dave is, how was it working with your mom? Illustrating, writing.
Do we have an hour left?
Hold on. Yes.
Oh, boy. No, you know what? It was, again, unique mother and son working together, on a book. You know, how great and how
frustrating. Yeah, how frustrating too.
You know, how crazy. But no, I think, you know, we have a good relationship, you know, in a way that, you know, my mom and I were very open with each other. you know, I guess it's part of the upbringing, but, you know, she bounces stuff off of me. I bounce, you know, we yell at each other. We get over it. And, you know, we have a good working relationship and a normal, you know, mother-son relationship that, I think it allows for us to create like that in a way. I think you'd agree, Mom, that we were
definitely
fortunate to be able to get along enough to get the book done. So
yeah, we had some rough moments.
Yes,
because
sure.
You know, the author always has a particular way that you expect mm-hmm. things to look, and it doesn't necessarily correlate with good art. And you know, he had another, but it was wonderful because when we could take a deep breath and listen to one another, I got more material for the book, and he got more material for the drawings. Wouldn't you say that kind of
sure.
happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was the best part of it.
So
yeah.
You had to give a little, but he was learning, and then you were learning from him.
It's like everything else with communication, right? If you just stop and listen, maybe something this person in front of you is saying actually makes sense.
and we're actually seeing it wrong, maybe.
Right.
Being open, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I heard that these books are they're for an organization, right? The proceeds will go to an organization?
Yes, we have part of the proceeds going to the True Love Missions, which is a very special place in my heart because my daughter and I went down to Haiti during the earthquake, and the biggest issue there is, of course, water.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was very, very interested in providing water in any way we could, any kind of times we ever gave any little monies to anybody. It was all about Wells for Kids. So this is going to go, part of this will go for Wells for Children.
Wow, and, that's amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting. We love that idea.
And if anyone is interested in buying the books,
it's on Amazon.
They're on Amazon, yes, okay.
Yes. And the second one isn't out yet, but when it comes out, it's going to be spectacular. We're so excited about the second one.
Really excited about it. Yeah, yeah. The illustrations are, and the writing, it's just a really off-the-wall book. I think, you know, if I may just say it, you know, it's something everyone's going to really enjoy. The first book's got a beautifulness about it, but this one's really off-the-wall funny and got a great message, too.
And it's a parable, a real parable.
So can I be your first customer?
Yeah, yes, you can.
This time. I love that because your husband was involved, too, and I know that he's recently passed on to the Lord, but
he's
still
with the Lord. He went home in November.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he used to embarrass me because he was in the hospital for in and out for 7 years, and every time that I would walk into a room, somebody would say, "We heard you wrote a book," you know, and he would have me giving books out. Like, I think I gave a case or two of books for free to everybody that ever took care of him. Aww. He was a great proponent of this. Yeah, he just loved it.
Oh, and I'm sure he is still working in heaven.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, he is. He's very, very present to us.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, so another question I had was, I have a question for Ella and Danny, actually. How does it feel being in a book? And were you ever asked any questions, inspiration for the book, for the drawings, anything? You could share anything that comes to mind.
Well, a few times, like, I was watching my dad draw, and then I'd tell him, like, a few, like, tips of what would make it, like, look better.
That's very cute.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
And for me, it feels good because, like, all of our stories from when we were little, and I, like, remember all the little stuff that she puts into the book.
Awesome. Yeah, and Lizzie isn't here. Lizzie Letish, that's, we always say that's Ella's almost sister cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not here. But she also was a, you know, big part of this whole thing. And her and Ella are the ones that started all at the Sunday dinner table. So
they were your first inspirations,
I guess. They were my inspiration, right, because they had a way of saying things. And kids do, you know. That really, it really kind of says it all. Sometimes they say things so simply. I know Danny has a knack of doing that. He'll say things and we'll be like, "What? Wait a minute. Where did that come from?"
Aww,
you know?
Yeah,
very
totally.
Insightful.
Whenever anyone ever said that to me, I was like, myself.
Comes from yourself, right. Actually, I wanted to mention Danny did something very special. Was it yesterday, Dan?
Yeah, so it was yesterday.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I did St. Baldrick's, and it's when you donate money for children's cancer research, and then you cut your head, so it's like you lost your hair too. So you cut your, you shave all your hair, and my class raised over $2,000 for it.
Wow, that's really awesome.
That's amazing. And how often are children diagnosed with cancer?
Every 2 minutes.
Every 2 minutes is a child diagnosed with cancer. Wow. I know St. Jude's Hospital is extremely big in cancer research and cancer care. Now, so did you ever feel scared to do it?
Well, the first time I did it, like, no one in my grade was doing it, and it was all fifth graders, and I was in, like, second grade. So I was kind of scared to do it because no one in my class was doing it or in my grade, so I was a little scared.
And what did you say to yourself when I just have to ask this? Because I don't know if I'd ever have the courage to do it. I don't know. Would you guys?
I think I would.
You would?
I don't know. I think so. I mean, I guess you just have to think for the cause. It's more important. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to, like, die to ourselves.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Especially as women, like, having a shaved head does not look...
Yeah, I know.
It'll be a big sacrifice, but we have to be like, it's for you, God, and for the kids. And
So the first time you looked at yourself after you did it, I want to know, what were you in shock, or did you say, wow, it's not bad?
Well, I was like, I don't really like it. And then I started, like, feeling my head, and it felt so, like, weird. And I was like, I kind of like it now.
So what did people say? Did people say, why is your hair gone? What happened?
Well, a few of my friends didn't know I was doing it. So they're like, why'd you get a haircut that much? Like, you're bald.
What'd you do?
Well, no, it's very inspiring. Can I just tell you that? So, Ella, when are you going to do it?
Ooh.
Well, every year I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do it, but it never ends up happening. So every year I get, like, a haircut, like, a few inches off, and I feel like I did something for it. Like, I didn't shave my head, but I cut off some of my hair.
Oh, so did you give that hair in?
Well, I didn't get to donate it, but every year, like, I do it as a little thing to, like,
between you and God, kind of, like?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very sweet. I love that.
Yeah, I do, too. And that reminded me, actually, there's, when I was in college, first years, there's a polar plunge. So every year, like, you could go into the freezing cold water at the beach in February. So this was the first time I ever did it, because I was in the community service club at NASA.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of friends together, and we raised some money through the club, and then we ended up doing this plunge. And I think, looking back, I only would have been able to do it if I had the people around me doing it too. Like, we all did it together, you know? It was like, it shocked my body, and my hands were numb.
Do you know what that is? Do you guys know what a polar plunge is?
Yeah, we went to see it one year, and like, and I just remember me and Ella felt so lucky because we were having like hot chocolate while everyone else was freezing in the water.
Yeah, my feet were numb for like a minute or two after. I was like, is this normal? But then I got, everything is good now.
Yeah,
it came back.
It's kind of fun to do stuff like that.
Yeah, it is.
So I wanted to talk about Giovanna a little bit.
Sure.
I want to ask her what her favorite children's book is. Get the microphone over there.
Yeah, a little closer, yeah. Thank you, Father.
Favorite children's book. You know, my memory is lacking. So I know I've read children's books. Like, I know as a child,
yeah.
Someone read me a children's book. But I can't say I remember many. Maybe, like, something about a moon, like, Under the Moon or something.
Over the Moon?
Over the
Good
Moon.
Night, Good Moon. Night Moon.
Good Night Moon.
Yes, that was a big one. Yeah.
Ah, that's great. I understand that, because I don't remember one book I ever read as a kid, but I know all the books I read to my kids. And do you remember, DP, The Ball of String?
Yeah.
Ball of String. And, of course, Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat.
Go, Dog, Go.
I mean, those are all lots of fun.
Classics, yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun. Yeah. I love The Ball of String. That was...
I never read that book.
Yeah. Father Peter, what was your favorite?
Ooh.
Well, I'm trying to think of one right now. Yeah. The Three Little Bears, I guess. I don't know.
Really?
I just remember those. They were The Three Little Bears. But I can't put much together about it right now. Well, I would say, yeah, Goldilocks.
And
what about the wolf and all of that? The mean wolf.
Red Riding Hood.
What about that one?
Oh, yeah. Maybe Three Little Pigs.
Too? Oh, there's a whole batch of them, right? A whole batch of these things.
They were actually some of them were pretty scary.
They were scary things. Yeah, all those Grimm's. Grimm's fairy tales were kind of grim sometimes.
But you know, there's a book out that actually talks about all the religious significance now of the Grimm's brothers' fairy tales. Yeah, they actually had a lot of religious stuff going on there that nobody even realized.
Wow.
So that was kind of
interesting. Too, though. It was some scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they were. Sure they were.
Definitely.
They help children deal with their fears, which, of course, is what Barbara's trying to do with the Ella Francinella series.
That's right.
You know, an underlying theme is children dealing with their fears in a creative and wholesome way to get beyond them. So it's a... So, you know, watch for that theme as you get your copy and go through it. Yeah.
That's right. As a counselor, that's the biggest. I was just talking about this at a talk I gave on Wednesday, that really fear is what drives many of us to do and the things we do and make the decisions we make. And sometimes it comes off as anger or anxiety, or it can come off as selfishness or jealousy. But usually at the bottom of all that kind of emotion, fear is what drives us to make the decisions we make, and sometimes, and very often, say the things we say that we really don't want to say, but we just say them. And fear is really, I would say, as a counselor for over 40 years, it's probably the most powerful force that drives us to do what we actually do. Mm-hmm. So I was very interested in dealing with that subject, you know, of children's fears. But I know that Giovanna came especially talking about fear. She was a little nervous, but I told her she was going to be just wonderful and great today. And she came to talk about something very exciting that's about to happen. So I'd like to hand the mic over to her for a minute.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's kind of a new endeavor that's happening in a local parish in Greenlawn. Father Peter and Deacon Campbell, in the very beginning, they wanted to do something for the young adults in the area, and so they got some time and some money in their hands and decided to renovate the basement of Father Peter's rectory to turn it into a coffee house for all the young kids. So they did a beautiful job. Looks fantastic, and so now we're in the process of trying to use it, and so we're opening up this coffee house hopefully at the end of April, and we're inviting all the young adults in the area to just come and have fun, to join a community, to make friends. It's really something for you guys. So whatever you want to see, we'll definitely try to make it happen. But we'll definitely be open at least twice a week. Once a week, we'll have a band come in, a Christian artist, and we'll have just a little coffee house, a little quiet music. It's free and it's open to the public, and you are more than welcome to come.
What age group, Giovanna?
I think, you know, anywhere between, you know, around college or after college through, like, mid-30s, you know. We're trying to be specific. Great. To this kind of transitional time for young adults. Mm-hmm. Before they, you know, maybe before they get married or really start their families, or mm-hmm. transitioning through jobs. Just some place where we can have a community, so we can be together with each other and support one another, especially in the world and everything that's happening.
The way the world is today, it's so important. There's so many young people that we need each other, you know, and we had that actually. My generation had it, and also I think my kids' generation had it more than you guys do. You know, there's not that many supportive groups, especially when it comes to, you know, a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen out there. And I just want to say also that just like this is your radio station, you know, Long Island, this is your coffee house. So, yeah. You know, come and make it what you want it to be. You know, nobody's got any agendas here. We're just
absolutely.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's one thing that, you know, when Father and I were talking about it, is it's just there's no pressure. I mean, you can make it whatever you want to make it. If you want to just come and hang out, please come. If you want to come and ask questions and really kind of like delve into your faith and discover some more things, mm-hmm. About the church, you're more than welcomed. If you just want to hear some music, you just want some coffee, if you just want a friend, you know.
I think I like that a lot. I like the band and the music idea. That's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you something? Didn't mean to cut you. I'm sorry. I just want to ask this question, because I know it's a question people are thinking right now. Like, if I show up, am I going to get God down my, you know, in my face? Am I going to?
Absolutely not. Well, okay. I mean, you know, we're not there to preach. We're not there to kind of evangelize you, you know, the moment that you walk in. It's really just a down-to-earth kind of place. It's more of just like a second home, just some place where you can come and relax and drink coffee and maybe play some games or read a book if you want. Besides, like, just coming in for the night, if you're sick of the bar scene, sick of going out, doing the same thing every weekend, if you want to come and just relax and listen to some music.
And share stuff. And
yeah.
You see, I think that's so important because Pope Francis is constantly talking about meeting people where they are at, not where we need them to be. And that's what we all do. We want to meet people where we need them to be. Right, Father Peter, would you agree with that? That's kind of
what
we do.
That's true. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that, you know, specific things get done. I mean, there's all kinds of workshops that the church runs for various things. But a coffee house is a very different thing. It's the doors are open. You have, you know, a minimum number of rules. I mean, a few basic things we have to have. But the idea is that, you know, depending on who's there, we'll take the program, you know, from there. So it's a nice self-contained little spot that we have a separate entrance and so forth. You don't have to come, you know, intrude on anyone else in the mm-hmm. in the rectory, in and out, and the little self-contained area. So, and we're going to learn how to brew good coffee too. So,
you know, what I love about that, it's down. It's like all the hot Manhattan spots are always down under. You know, that's the big thing now, right? Down under
the underground. It's the it's the underground.
The cave and the you know right. you hear all these places.
The man
you know,
cave and
the caves and the you know the different little. Pubs and stuff. It's
well,
all
maybe
like
we'll come up with a name for the thing, for the coffee house, and maybe it'll have something to do with that theme of the underground or whatever.
Yeah, that's
people
actually
discovering the Lord, but in their own way, in their own
you
time.
You know, that might be prophetic. I hate to say it, but we might need a Christian underground one
Christian
of these
underground
days.
One of these days, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad that Giovanna has joined us, and she's going to kind of be pulling things together, kind of being our MC and our coordinator here. But we'll get her some help. We'll get her some support. I got a couple of other friends that want to help her get involved, get this thing launched. Mm-hmm. So, you know, please keep us in your prayers. Stay in touch. Give us a call. We'll let you know when opening night is, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so can we put out a little invitation that anybody who'd like to help Giovanna or be part of it might want to talk to her about
sure.
it?
Sure. Let's hand it over to Giovanna. She'll tell you how to reach her.
Yes. If you are in any way willing to help or to, if you just want to come, you just want to be on kind of an email list, you can definitely email me. And I guess we can post that, or did I just give my
email? You can give your email if you'd like.
Yeah, I can give you my email right now
yeah,
for the world
that's
here.
Perfect.
Yes. It's GJO.MAIELLO, it's my last name, @gmail.com. And I think what Father just said was really special in terms of this is a place where it's really all about you and your own relationship with the Lord. I think what Ella said earlier was something really beautiful about, you know, how she celebrates St. Baldrick's Day. She, on her own time, in her own space, cuts a few inches off her hair, and between her and the Lord, like, there's a, you know, kind of a secret relationship there, and her own sacrifices in that, and no one else needs to know about it. She doesn't, you know, talk about it, you know, unless she's asked here on the public
on the
radio station.
Yeah.
But, that's what this is. It's just about you and the Lord, and we're just here to help, and we're just here to bring you closer if you so desire. And if you don't know what that is, if you're interested, that's almost even better, because that's just the door is open, and the Lord is pulling you in even if you don't know it yet.
So it's a chill place, as you guys say, right? It's a place
yeah.
to chill.
Really low key.
You know, you mentioning Ella's comment. Ella, I would like you to talk a little bit about Lizzie, since she's not here, and how you and her play off each other in the book. Like, how do you find that works? Like, you know.
Well, me and Liz, like, we always say things to each other, and everyone always finds out or, like, laughs, and the whole family always knows what's going on because it's never a secret, and we just have our own little fun, so.
Would you say that you have, like, a job to drive Liz crazy most of the time?
Yeah.
That's her mission.
Yeah, I usually get her crazy, but we always end up laughing, so.
So you're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of remind me of Dr. Shufo and Dr. Palmieri, remember?
Yeah.
Because Dr. Jufo always drove Dr. Palmieri a little crazy, and you know, but for fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Palmieri was the perfect straight man. I mean, he was like, they were just perfect team
together.
They
would kind of both kind of go at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Palmieri would say, well, Tony, I don't know what you just said. And Tony would say, well, I don't know either. And we'd all have a good laugh, but mm-hmm. it's kind of like that. You have something to say there, Dan.
Yeah, we kind of made up like a joke about it, like about whenever we all, me, Liz, and Ella got into trouble. It was Liz makes the plan, Ella does the plan, and I tattle on it.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Now we know your secret.
So Liz is great at strategy, right, at organizing, and then Ella is the best doer of it, because then Liz says, well, I'm not sure I want to do it, but I want to come up with the idea.
Yeah, right? Liz doesn't want to get in trouble, so then I have to do the dirty
So she ends up actually making the trouble. And then
we thought Dan's, like, part of our team with us on it, and then we hear, like, what are you doing? Because Dan told on
him. And then Danny shows up as the guy telling us what's going on. That's great.
Usually, though, I do help them, but then I just tattle anyway.
Well, it's more fun. That's so much more fun.
Because I get to have fun with them, and then in the end, they get in trouble for it.
So, Al, tell me, I just have one more question for you before we turn it over to Father Peter's reading for today, but... Ella calls me Goo. Well, they all my grandkids call me Goo. Okay, so I don't know about that
Goo
term, but yeah, I'm Goo. So somehow I got to
maybe
be Goo.
It's kind of like Boo, like well, like your Boo.
I'll tell you how it started out. Lizzie always would say when she was little, Mary, do you want to tell what Lizzie would say? Here, come to the microphone here and just give us a little rendition of how I got that name.
We have Mary Beth, who's Barbara's daughter.
Yes. Hi. I live next door to my mother, and every day I would say to my daughter, "Do you want to go see? Do you want to go see Grandma?" So, of course, she wasn't really speaking at the time.
She was what, 3 or
yeah.
2?
Yeah. Well, I guess she was speaking, but and anyway, a few years later, I was going around the table pointing at everyone, and I'm like, who is this? I guess she was pretty young.
Yeah.
She was had
young.
To be 2.
She was young.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't prepared. Anyway, thank you. So I'm going around the table, and I'm pointing to, you know, my brother. Who is that? Unky D. And who is this? I point to my mother, and she said, Gushy. And I said, Gushy? And now I, later, only years later, I realized that the reason she thought my mother's name was Gushy was because I would say, do you want to go see Grandma? So she heard go see, she heard as Gushy. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started.
Thank you. And but then in classic, you did very well, Mary.
Thank you.
Mary said, don't dare put me on the air. And Laura, get ready, because I'm going to get you up here, too. But what I want to say is that, you know, Ella, really, in true Ella fashion, she was born a few years later, and she heard Gushy and shortened it to Goo.
Yeah, I think that, like, when Liz started saying that, it just became like everyone said it. Or, like, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to Goose, when I'm, like, with my friends or something, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you just think to say it. It's not like weird to us, since we always say it.
Right. And you know what? So. Names are so important. The names of Jesus in the Bible are profound and many. And in the Old Testament, names were so, so crucial, because they told us about the character of people. So your name revealed your character. That's why the names of God are so key. And we have actually a dining room table around which my son-in-law, AJ, who built the table, he kind of engraved all the names of God around the dining room table just to remind us of the character of God. Because it's that character of God we want to depend on. We want to always depend on knowing that, you know, God is good, God is compassionate, God is providing, God is loving. If we knew his character, then that would be our picture of joy, so to speak, that we carry around with us, you know, because when things are seeming like they're crashing and everything's falling apart, all we have to really do is remember what are the names of God. Names are very important, and it's a very important part of our book, too. But just to get back to Ella for 1 second, Ella, sometimes you come to me and you say, I have a great idea for a book, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get those? What happens?
I'll just be, like, sitting down or thinking, and it pops in my head, or, like, when I'm doing something, and then I'm like, wait, this would probably be good in the book, so...
So you and Lizzie and Danny actually are very good writers, I noticed.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You like to do little stories, right?
Yeah, I like to do stories, like poems, stuff like that.
What was the story you did recently? Do you remember? One that you love?
Well, the one I like is the one I wrote upstate about, like, the poem about upstate. That's the one I can remember the best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Poem Upstate. Do you remember it at all? Can you say it?
I don't remember it exactly.
Do you remember a couple of lines from it?
I don't exactly remember, but it was just like about how we always go upstate and how it's like the place where we all meet up always.
Ah.
So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And that we need a meetup place, right? We have meetups on. It's interesting that we have to almost create meetups. We used to always have meetups happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you. Thank you, guys. This was fun. I want to ask...
Excuse me. I think Danny just wanted to ask...
Oh, he wanted to say one more thing?
No, I'm sorry.
You have something to say, Dan? I always like hearing from you.
About writing.
Oh, about what?
It doesn't matter, yeah.
It doesn't matter? You want to
say
something?
Well, I guess I do have something about writing. In school, I would always be, like, the first one to finish with my writing. So I'd always be the first one who had to, like, share their writing. And everyone always laughed because I exaggerated my stories a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be talking about swimming in a pool, and I'd be like, and the real story would be like, oh, Ella pushed me. And then I exaggerated to, my sister was trying to drown me.
Well, that makes a good storyteller, Dan. You know, I'm glad he brought that up because one of the books, we've got about 6 Ella books in the works right now, and one of them is narrated by Danny. And it's really a lot of his stuff. I just kind of incorporate in there. And he's tattletaling.
Tattletaling away.
About everybody's deal. I want to give exciting. Laura a minute just to talk about something that's very close to her heart. Laura, say something that maybe people could be encouraged to adopt. You know what, and stuff like that. Yeah, this is the reason I want Laura to say something is because, you know, we are on the radio, and this is something that she's devoted her, as far as I can see, most of her days to, is to redeem and help the lost kittens and dogs in the world. And I just wanted to see if she could say something that would encourage you guys to look into that adoption.
Well, obviously, Long Island has a very big feral cat problem. As we know, we have a lot in our area, in our yard. So from the statistics I read, one cat can create up to 2,100 cats a year.
Wow.
So just in my free time, just because I hate to see them suffer, I've been, you know, trying to... trap and release them or get them homed. You know, obviously if you see a cat or a dog, there are plenty of places if you just go on the internet that can help you. You know, Grateful Paw over in I guess it's Comac, Kings Park area, they're great. And there's a lot of outlets that, you know, are willing to come and trap for you. So I don't have any phone numbers or anything like that because I just wing it all the time. But, you know, I really feel, you know, that they're important and, you know, we're kind of all they have. They don't have a voice. So definitely with this cold weather, if anybody sees any animals outside, you can go ahead and go online and call. And somebody will definitely assist you.
I want to say that all of our life we had lots of pets, but I was so busy taking care of kids that the pets were just something else I had to take care of, kind of like I have to water the garden, I have to take care of pets.
Yeah.
And I never really appreciated it as much as since I've seen Laura actually, you know, kind of raise my consciousness. And I guess that's what I'm hoping she can do today, too, out there, that these little guys are really suffering and they're so dismissed. You know, we see cats walking around and dogs walking around, and they so often get dismissed. But there are now more than ever before, I guess, right, Laura?
Yeah, Long Island is really there. If you look for it on the internet, or you call Grateful Paw, they can definitely give you information and have people come, and they'll trap for you or they'll help you. You know, unfortunately, it's something that you have to take the time out to do, but it's worth it because you're saving a life. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Can I just ask DP one more question here? So just to kind of, you know, drive you crazy, I want to say there's a lot of, in all of literature, in all of filming, there's so many symbolisms, right?
Sure.
And that they're underneath everything. And I know you're a real Star Wars proponent. And
are you going to go there, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to go there. Oh, so, you know, for all those people out there that are into the Star Wars, you know, and so what is the God piece there in the Star Wars?
In relation to the, you just mean in general, not in relation to the book.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's a fan, it's always struck me anyway, hard, is the, even the most basic fan, there's the light side and the dark side, and you know, good and evil, and the struggle between that, and there are archetypes, I guess you would say.
Archetypes,
you know,
good, yeah.
And I don't know. Of course, there's many things that appeals to me and millions and billions of fans about it, but that always hit me. I guess it was the struggle against good and evil, and how just quickly, you know. The main villain, who most people know, Darth Vader, he was actually, you know, growing up, he was a regular boy,
yeah,
you know, and he went through struggles and he had a rough upbringing, and he kind of, you know, he was swayed and he went down the wrong path, but you know, it's kind of funny. I'm trying to be serious about this, but it is. There's a lot of symbolism in the movie that hits me, and I think hits a lot of people.
I always appreciate that, because my son kind of talks to me about the different symbolism there. And Father Peter, what was it? Michelangelo? He used the same person. There's a legend anyway that he used the same person for Judas, and for
one of the apostles.
One of the apostles.
Well,
because they changed
so badly during the course of the years. That is a story about that.
Yeah, what
he
is that story?
He also put himself into the Last Judgment scene as a lost soul, too.
Did he?
See, he worked himself into it, yes. There's like an empty soul. An empty soul there. It's in the great fresco, The Last Judgment. There's this empty soul. And you look at it, you realize Michelangelo painted his own face in there. So he's struggling with his own salvation and his own turning.
And he actually portrayed one of the apostles. I can't remember who it was right now. As with the same man's face,
right,
as
that
Judas,
said,
but
yes.
It had changed
so rapidly or radically
through the man's struggles
over that
in
time.
Life.
That's right. That's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that's that. Whenever I think of Darth Vader, because of what you've told me, I think about that.
He turned to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tragic hero. Kinda.
The tragic hero. Yeah. Very interesting. But can you give us a little five-minute reading here?
Well, I was just the two last chapters of both Matthew's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles kind of were grabbing me. You know, at the end of Matthew, it's called the Great Commission.
Ah.
You know, Jesus is sending everybody out. Now, here's the story. It says, you know, they worship, but they doubted. That was what I was picking up, you know. See, so oftentimes we stop really believing that God is guiding us, because we see people doubting all around us, so we begin to feel doubts building up in our own hearts. And here Matthew is great, because here Jesus is about to give his last words, you know, about going forth, and some are still doubting. some are still doubting. So we should take heart, okay, that, you know, doubts are around, but if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll get to the right place. I think this is the end. We'll hear the Great Commission. It will be part of the action. You see, it's not that doubts are going to disappear altogether. They're going to be pesky, and they're going to be difficult to deal with at times. And then just there's always the confusion of the practicality of you. You may have your eyes on the Lord, but how do you implement anything practically, you know? And then sometimes we make mistakes along the way. So I just wanted to, that was coming to me. And the other thing, too, at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, there's an interesting line, and it looks like the Acts of the Apostles, the author there was musing later years or at a certain number of years later, and so we got to Rome, it says. It's the little line, and so we got to Rome. And I just take off that because, you know, that was through shipwreck and through all sorts of persecution. Paul is going to Rome as a prisoner, you see, and then in the meantime, you know, he actually gets into physical danger and so forth. But he gets there. Mm-hmm. So the theme is, of course, keep your eyes on the Lord, and the Lord will get to where you want to go. The Lord wanted Paul in Rome. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no doubt that Paul wanted to get there, and the Lord wanted to get him there. But it didn't look like the Lord was working too hard. I mean, it looks like the Lord was cutting them loose there. I mean, shipwreck and, you know, abandonment on these islands and places like that. When is he going to get off the island and never get back on the journey? But yet he does. So I think the whole thing is, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. It may seem like we're going nowhere, but with him we're going to get to the right place.
Can I just say, it just came to me recently when I was teaching that, you know, really, Jesus and his disciples were street guys walking around all the time. They didn't have the money to, you know, rent caravans. And that's why Jesus went to a certain circumscribed area, right? To do his stuff. So
people
did a lot more
walking in those days.
They were walking all over. They weren't riding anywhere. So I just wanted to make that point, because when we say Paul got to Rome, well, of course he got to Rome, because we're looking at it through today's world. Right. But that was a major
thing. Yeah. So, but the idea was, through so many ups and downs, through so many detours, so through so many unpromising situations, he's coming to Rome as a potential prisoner to be on trial. You know, the Lord wants to use it for the gospel. But, you know, Paul's got to really hang on to his faith, because, you know, he's going there possibly to be condemned. And then, of course, then he can't even get there to be condemned. Mm-hmm. You see, but then finally help comes down, and he's on his way back, and then he gets the break. They put him under house arrest, and for two whole years he's got to stay in the house, but people can come and visit, and so he's preaching. He's preaching every day.
Did he arrange to get thrown in jail in order to get to Rome, Father Peter?
Well, partly so. He appealed to Caesar. See, if he made, as a citizen, he could make that appeal, so that the local courts, you know, weren't able to judge him. So that's what the procurator said. You want to go to Rome? You're going. You know, and of course the procurator was glad to get rid of him. But in the meantime, the Lord's work was being done. That's the important thing about this. The Lord's work is being done. So let's keep our eyes on the Lord, and you'll be surprised how creative he can be.
Even though you think it's not a great idea.
You think it's a dead-end street. You think it's a dead-end street, and all of a sudden the Lord's doing something amazing. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we're about to wrap up. We have about 2 minutes. Does anyone want to share any closing remarks, or just any? I just feel so inspired. I'm so excited for the next book, and just thank you so much for Father Peter. And that was beautiful to always remember to keep our eyes on the Lord, and during this season of Lent, you know, to. Just get closer to the Lord, and we have the great way of the coffee house in a relaxing way, and just keep listening to the show. That's another way.
Yeah, and we'd like to get your feedback out there, guys, because, you know, we're really kind of here not knowing exactly what's happening in your heads and what you're thinking about the show, so we need feedback, you know, and anything that you'd like to share with us about it, anything that you heard today. Do they have your text cell?
Yes, I'll give it again. Okay. My cell is 516-784-6081. You could shoot me a text, a call. You could go to our website for more info, too, listen-up.net. There's our email on the website as well. And please don't forget, as Pope Francis says, to keep us in prayer. Don't forget to pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for all the guests, and if you feel inspired to donate, please do so. And
Thank you, and yeah. I want to especially thank Ella and Danny for showing
Yay.
Up here today.
Thank you, as Mr. Chufo said.
I can't wait for next time, because like, if more of the second book is done, then we'll have a lot more to talk about.
Oh, that's
yes.
great.
You can come back on, definitely, definitely.
Why All do right. I see you as a mayor someday or something? I don't know.
Because I have a bald head, and everyone acts like I'm an adult.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be the mayor of Northport.
Whatever. Northport. Okay, God bless you,
God
listeners.
Bless you
have a great
Thank
weekend.
You.
Yeah, bye. You. Bye.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Oh, Lamb of God, you take away the